Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Back to the issues raised yesterday about the absence of a public memorial to Garda Richard Fallon. It was previously in the public office of Clontarf Garda Station, but it's now been moved inside where the public can't see it. It's still well looked after, but it's not on public view. And this was raised by a listener yesterday, and then we heard from Finian Fallon, who's the son of Garda Richard Fallon. 50 years ago next April, he was shot dead on Aran Quay in his uniform when the memorial in Clontarf is to Garda Mick Reynolds, and the memorial that the family are looking for is to Garda Richard Fallon. And there's been enormous progress in the last 24 hours. The company that now owned the building, it used to be a bank where Garda Fallon was shot, that they have totally agreed, obviously subject to planning permission, that a plaque they would allow a plaque on that historic spot and that tragic spot. A plaque maker has been on, and that's what he does. He makes those type. He's been on. He said he will do it free, gratis, and for nothing. The family are going to. They're the ones who want it, and various Garda organisations, including the GRA and the AGSI, and that have also given their support. The only difficulty might be that the building is a listed building, so the company have to find out about putting it. Now, these plaques are discreet, and they're done in good metal and to high professional standards. But anyway, they're going to check that out. But somehow or other, I think there's going to be a memorial to Garda Richard Fallon before, if not on, the 50th anniversary of his killing. Now, we then mentioned when we were talking about the killing of Garda Mick Reynolds in St Anne's Park. The two people that were convicted of his killing, Mary and Noel Murray, we heard from the now husband of the widow of Garda Reynolds. She remarried, Vera remarried, a man called Jerry Langan, also a guard. And he was saying when they were released, they didn't do life, and they were sentenced to death, but I think that was commuted, as it always is. He was making the point that they were released many years ago, 1992, and they're still around the place or whatever. Now, Jim Brady has contacted. Jim, you've an unusual connection with the Murray couple, and Noel Murray in particular, when he was in prison. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I wouldn't say, Joe, I had a connection with them. Okay. I was a young apprentice student stationed in Clancy Barracks in Dublin in 1976. I was after spending 3 years in what was the Army Apprentice School in Ace, and I was belonging to the Army Ordnance Corps. So
your line is you've fallen off the phone, Jim.
Yeah.
Jim, come back to the phone. Whatever happened there, you've completely disappeared.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, stay where you are. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Jim. No, you're gone again. You're gone again. Okay, Tony, I'll go to Tony Mulvaney. I'll come back to Jim. Tony Mulvaney, as Finian said yesterday, when one man came on who we reckon was, he was only young, he was forced on the scene of his father's murder. Finian said, when I asked him, would this upset you? He says, sure, why would it upset me? We think about it a lot, and we know that our father was dead, in Finian's words, before he even hit the ground. Tony, you reckon you were one of the first people on the scene in 1970. You were 14 at the time.
I've been 14 maybe. How are you, Joe? 14 and possibly 15 maybe. It was around, I was just in between birthdays.
Okay.
But myself and lad Thomas, we were up in Blackhall Street.
Right.
I don't know if you know it. Opposite the Blackhall Blackhall Place, Blue
Coat
School.
Yeah,
the Law
Society.
The Law Society. We used to pal around there, and we heard the commotion on the quay, and it looked like there was cars on the far side of the quay parked up and the whole lot. So we made our way down, but me having experience of once or twice of ringing the bells in St. Paul's Church in Aran Quay there.
Okay.
My friend was the main bell ringer. I used to go down, we went in the laneway where actually the great Paddy Crosby used to live down off Queen Street there.
Okay.
We were able to go down the back of the church, the little laneway there, and brought you in the laneway into the back of the church, so we could see quite clearly the side of the bank. Mm. In other words, to your left was the Liffey, and the bank was then in front of you there. There was some big place there in between, some building you were saying, I think it's, I don't know what it was, but some sort of a building in between, like at the time.
Now, the Catholic Youth Council. Is
the Catholic Youth Council became, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't actually a laneway that Garda Fallon was shot on. It was actually the side of the bank.
Oh, okay.
And as Garda Fallon would have ran up that little pathway, there was a railing then beside the Catholic Youth Council, we say. So we could see clearly from the grotto in Arranquay Church there, right up.
Okay.
And there's a little gateway about a third of the way up that little pathway there, and that's where Garda Fallon was shot.
Okay.
But I assumed at the time he seemed to have one of the old big heavy coats on that the guards used to wear at the time. Possibly not, but it looked that way.
And did you hear the shots?
We could hear the commotion, and we heard the banging, but we didn't know what it was. We were just kicking football and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But well, that's about it. That's all. But I remember the commotion there, and we could see from up there. But the police then closed off the whole area, and I think at the time the end of Queen Street was closed off, as far as I know. But that was about it. But there was a one thing caught my mind. There was a pool of blood around the poor man, and but I remember possibly a week, possibly 10 days later, passing it. Because instead of going down through Smithfield, sometimes we go down through Queen Street and to walk along the quay into town and stuff like that. And I remember coming back up and we were looking in and the stain of blood was still on the ground. That's one thing I always stuck with me for a long time after. It was never, I thought it was just wasn't right. But that's all I remember of it, Joe, at the time. And it was a huge shock, though, in the all around the neighbourhood because he was the first guard, as far as I know, shot at the time. And it was just... It was just unbelievable. And as far as I know, he was shot point blank. I think I remember seeing something in the press, the Herald or something at the time, saying that he actually got to that little half gate on that little avenue up and that the man tried to close the gate or something and fired at him. So he must have been shot fairly close, you know?
Yeah. I think as Finton said, as Finian said, his father died before he hit the ground. I'll go back to Jim Brady. Jim, your contact then with Noel Murray. How did that come
about? I was a student in the Army Ordnance Corps in Clancyberry, Dublin. I was after spending 3 years in the Army Training School in Ace, and because we belonged to the Ordnance Corps, we were stationed in Clancy for a year. So in 1976, I was attending Bolton Street as part of the trades training, and I used to dodge to my detriment some lectures in Bolton Street on Thursday afternoons. So I chose to go across to Green Street and sit in on some of the cases that were on.
Okay, yeah.
And I happened to sit in on a portion of the Garda Reynolds murder trial until it was twigged by my commanding officer, who sent for me and wanted to know was I studying engineering or studying law.
Okay.
But during the course of watching the bits and pieces and what was going on, about a month later, I was posted to the Curragh camp.
Uh-huh.
And the detention centre was housing criminal gangs from Dublin.
Right.
And Murray was in an exercise yard on his own. And the military, and I was one of the guys that would have done numerous duties up there at the time, was on the elevated post looking down into the exercise yard and obviously guarding the prisoners. But there was military police doing the business down in the yard. But he was a lone figure exercising in the yard.
And what age was he when he was in prison, Tony? What age was he when he was...
In around, I think, 26 or 27.
Oh, he's that young, was he?
Yeah, he was that young. She was, I think, his a wife, junior civil servant at the time. And he was a metal fabricator. To the best of my knowledge of that case, of that particular time.
And what? Does anyone ever know?
Obviously condemned to death, but it was...
But what possessed them? Were they members of a legal organisation?
I think they were mixed up with some illegal organisation in the country. But it was ironic that I was sitting in Green Street when I should have been over at lectures, and then within the space of 6 or 7 weeks, been on the Curragh and looking into an exercise yard at a man that's condemned to death, you know. And it then was, I think it was the Supreme Court changed it to common murder. And as you said there, on your lead in there, they got out in 1992. A cousin of mine, by coincidence, was a prison officer, a female prison officer down in Limerick.
Okay.
And she was looking after, and I only found this out years later, she was looking after Murray's wife, Marie, I think was the first name. Yeah. But, the whole thing.
Did they ever express remorse?
Gerard Reynolds.
Did he ever express remorse, you know, Jim? Did he ever express any remorse?
I don't think so. And it was shocking afterwards that, you know, that it was deemed that the man was out of uniform and not on duty. And yes, members of An Garda Síochána, and indeed myself when I took the oath, there was no small print about being in or out of uniform when you're taking the oath to serve the state, you know. So to me, that was a...
And
a horrible thing.
Who was saying to me earlier, was it yourself, Jim, about a vital piece of evidence was a contact lens case found in the car. Were you telling me that?
I was
reading that piece from Síochána, the book, the series of articles that Gerry Langan referred to yesterday. He wrote with the assistance of Vera, who was there, Vera the widow of Mick. I was reading the piece this morning. In the car, the getaway car or whatever, the Gardaí found a empty contact lens case. Okay,
right.
And they brought it to this. I don't know who this man or woman was, but they're stunning. They brought it to what they called an expert optician, and from the drop of fluid, it must have been minuscule. From the drop of fluid, he or she was able to determine that it was a short-term use of a contact lens that would have had to be got on prescription and that would have been prescribed on a regular basis. So the Gardaí set about visiting every single optician in Dublin, and they had in their mind to visit every single optician in the country. They set about to visit every single optician in Dublin, and they eventually found the prescription. And that's how they were brought to that particular house in Raheem.
Incredible work. Of the pieces that I sat through, a very young John Harbison was the state pathologist at the time, because I think he had only taken over about a year before. So he was given the evidence in...
Jim, why did your commanding officer object to you attending the trial as a citizen?
Well, I was supposed to be attending lectures, Joe. You were a young student, over across the city.
Yeah, but I used to often go up to court. Now, it was usually in the dock, but I used to go up to court and that, just out of curiosity. They're fascinating places.
I should have been at the lectures, and then obviously something was sent in to say that this guy is not attending. So I got the slap in the hand there, and rightly so.
How long did you spend in the army, Jim?
I spent 24 years. I joined in 1972 and retired in 1996. Joe.
So you were there for the troubles. You were in it during the troubles.
I was in it during the troubles. I was indeed.
And were you on prison duty or?
No, it was nothing to do. It would just happen to be that the detention centre on the Curragh was housing criminal gangs, and then suppose the Department of Justice put Murray in there because he was condemned to death. At the same time, in the military hospital in the Curragh, there was Republican prisoners on a hunger strike, so they would have been brought up from I think Portlaoise and getting medical attention while they were doing what they were doing at the time. But the poor soldier had to do the business and guard the place.
Okay, Gerry Guinan wants to talk as well. Gerry, good afternoon. Sorry, so close to the end. You've a memory of Garda Dick Fallon, the other Garda we're talking about. You were, 13 years of age and you lived near Mountjoy Garda Station?
That's correct, Joe. Nice to talk to you.
Likewise. And what's the memory, Gerry?
My memory is that Dick Fallon and my father were quite close. Okay. And he was a prison officer at the time in Mountjoy, which was nearby. But... on the odd day when it was raining, we were home from school for lunch. I used to go to St. Vincent's in Glasnevin, and many of the time Dick Fallon drove us back from Mountjoy up to St. Vincent's on a bad day.
And you're on to the school.
And yes, absolutely lovely man.
And I see you say, please extend gentleman. My sympathies and memories and full deserving of a memorial, which is now well
absolutely.
In hand, I think, of the last day. But you say your dad retired, he went to work as a security man in Cleary's and he was shot.
He was, yes, in 1982.
Wow.
He was working as a security officer after he retired. And he himself was shot during the snow in 1982. And the gentleman that was with him, Mr. Crowley, was killed.
Wow.
And my father was badly injured.
In a robbery?
In a robbery, yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
And how is your father now?
Oh, my father is dead.
Oh,
my father is dead since 2005. But he wasn't right after that. It was a serious injury for any person to have.
Cleary's, an armed robbery in Cleary's, 1982,
where
a man was killed.
That's right, Mr. Crowley. At the back of Cleary,
How did I not remember that? Okay, Jerry.
Do you remember the very bad snow in 1982 when we were snowed in?
No, I don't even remember 1982, Jerry, to be honest. I'm so addled at this stage. No, and condolences to the family of Mr. Crowley. Thanks indeed, Jerry. 51551.